do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Our gospel lesson comes from John, 15th chapter, beginning in verse 9. Listen for God's word. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you that your joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
What is a friend? In this passage, Jesus changes the nature of the relationship and the time they spent together, and now says, I now call you friend. For me, that seems to be an ominous notion. Think that Jesus could be my friend. I don't consider myself in the same neighborhood as Jesus, in quality, character, or location. But for him to consider me friend is a significant thing if, in fact, you value friendships, which I'm assuming each and every one of you do. I mean, true friendships, long-lasting, deep friendships. And when you look at those friendships, what are the qualities that make up good friends? When I think about it, I think particularly of my wife and a childhood friend of hers. They started school together when they were kindergartners. They have gone many separate ways over the course of years, and now they find themselves 30 miles apart. Whenever they did see each other, they almost picked things up where they left them. You know, those kinds of friends? You don't need to fill in all the history of what's taken place since last time you saw each other. Even if it's a great period of time, somehow you just pick it right up and start talking and sharing and having conversation and checking in with one another, celebrating the things that have happened that have been great joy, and sharing in the sorrow of those things that didn't go quite so well. Those kinds of deep friendships. Those that have a lasting impression upon us, because somehow in learning to care for them as they cared for me, I also can care for others. They've taught me what it's like to think of others. Think of another's concern. Think of another's joy, another's sorrow. Another's challenge, another's frightening, waiting for news yet unknown. Friendship seems to have a quality about it at its deepest level of being truly concerned about you, so much so that whether you call or I call, we occasionally do call. And we want to know what's happening. Even if they're next door and you see them every day, somehow these friendships have a deeper quality of wanting to know more about you than just what you tell bystanders. What you say to acquaintances, because we all have many people we are acquainted with. But not maybe as many, nor should we, friends. Friends has a special quality. Now, I don't know how many friends you have. I have friends. But because I've moved so much, I'm not near most of them. They're all a great distance from me. So I take advantage of modern technology as you do, and we can Skype, text, Snapchat, and Twitter, and you can do all kinds of things with others. There's ways to make contact with each other. Sometimes we use an old form of communication called telephone. And converse for a time. For the very, very special friends, we make efforts, don't we, to actually get together with them, to actually see them in person. Somehow seeing them is even more special because we've been away for a time. But what makes them friends? What is it about them that makes them friends when everyone else isn't? And so much of it seems to be a constancy, a regular way in which they reveal themselves to us and we to them that's a safe place. We can share some things with friends that we don't feel comfortable sharing with anyone else. We know they'll keep our confidence. And we know they really do care because they get trouble when they hear your story of difficulty. Sometimes their eyes well up with tears as yours. And when you had a funny incident happen in your life and you begin to laugh, they laugh as louder than you do. Because they know what joy it brings to you. And if you've not seen each other for a while, and the only means of communication is by voice, they can tell, can't they, what kind of mood you're in? They can tell whether things are going well or bad. They can sense it. And if you've gone through a troubling time and then they hear a limpness in your voice, they know that joy has come to you in a special way. They already quietly celebrated on the other end of the line. It is an amazing thing to have friends. And so when Jesus says, "I call you friends," right now he's talking initially to his disciples, those closest to him, those who have spent 2 years or more with him, walking from place to place, seeing things that he did, hearing him talk, sharing in ministries together of healing and caring and acceptance. They've come to know each other really well. Their idiosyncrasies that still don't discourage them from associating with one another, even though they're different, even though they're unique, sometimes odd. That's all we need. The friendship accepts that, doesn't it? The friendship talked about here is a deep and abiding friendship of love, one that was commanded by him to love one another. Is there any greater love than a friend to lay down their life for another? To be that committed to one another that you want to keep them safe even if it endangers you? So I'm not talking about just fleeting friendships. We're talking about serious friendships of people who probably offer themselves up for you, put themselves in harm's way for you because they care that much about you. Sometimes even more than they care about themselves at those moments. It's that kind of friendship. And if you have one of those friendships, embrace it, celebrate it, and thank each other for it. Because it seems more and more as we are in a transient society and we see each other less and less and are busy with our own activities, friendships seem to wane and float away and get lost in the everyday. But for Jesus, saying, "I want you to be considered friends," means you're no longer strangers. You know me. You've come to understand me. You know what I'm about. You know what I've been trying to do. And I've let you in on some of my plans. I've let you in on some of the things that are going on in my life that I don't tell everyone. Because it's reserved just for you for a particular reason, particular value in the relationship we share, that we embrace. That kind of friendship. Again, I'm still very uncomfortable thinking of myself as Jesus being my friend when I think of other friends that I have. But it is a pretty wonderful thing to imagine that Jesus wants us to be that close, to know each other that well, to call each other friends. Oh, he's my Lord. But to be a friend, to have that kind of intimate, special reciprocity and relationship that, that somehow we care for one another in our daily activities and our life. We think of each other often. We reach out to one another in important times. That kind of friendship is one savior. For myself, I'm a person who's known as an introvert, someone who likes to steal away quietly to restore myself. We have very few friends. We don't have a host of people we call friends. There are just a very, very select few. Probably on a hand, I can count those that are truly my deepest friends. Four of them don't live anywhere near me. One lives with me. You know, one of the things that makes for great marriage relationships is that sometimes you get the opportunity to be friend first. The quality of the nature of who you can be with each other and your interest in one another, the things you share together that are truly, truly special. And so to call your loved one friend is a special thing because they understand in ways others don't pick up what's going on. You know, I think of that because as I was thinking of this sermon, preparing for it, I made a visit to one of the members of our church whose wife died recently. They were married 60 years. Sat out in his front yard, talking in the sun. And hearing him recall with freshness the nature of the time they shared together, the quality of it, and he even referred to it as my best friend. My best friend with a smile on his face, so fresh after the loss. But you can tell he cherished it, cherished that relationship, and realized in the course of it that he began to identify, as I did, other people in our lives who were not like that person, but also were deep friends, close friends, and how important they are in our lives because he experienced, as so many of us do in the loss of a loved one, all those friends from so far away that came to pay respects and to check in on us. Even if they could not make it in person, they made a call or sent a letter or a note or a text somehow to say, I'm just thinking of you. Jesus commands us to love one another. The kind of love that he has with his Father, he had with his disciples, he invites his disciples to have with others, decides for us as disciples to have with one another. A deep caring, maybe even a friendship, certainly more than acquaintances. We are family together in that respect. And so when you look on those who you cherish and call friends, I hope that you say a special word of thanksgiving for them. And that somehow your life is buoyed by the knowledge to know that out of these deep friendships and caring quality of the relationship you have shared, it carries over into other relationships in which you find yourself enjoying. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He says, I call you friends. There's a song, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our cares and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. And some of the qualities of some of our friendships is literally being able to spend time praying for and with one another. I don't think you had that experience. To have a friend pray for you, with you, and let them put in their own words the nature of the caring and concern they have for you. Because somehow as they abide in that kind of caring love, they're abiding in the love that God has for us in Christ. The kind of love we're asked to abide in. And if we do abide in that love, it makes a difference in our lives. Now and eternally. Call someone friend and to love and care for one another as friends. For those who are younger, you're beginning to just discover what it is to be a friend. A friend is somebody that when you go away, they're still your friend. I remember in all our moves growing up, we moved every 3 years, six times before I was in high school. I'd always worry about leaving friends behind in the community I just left and going to a new community. And my parents would always reassure us, oh, you're going to make new friends. And those that are truly lasting friends, guess what? They're still going to be friends. You're still going to check on them. You're still going to care about them. You're still going to check on them. Those are true friends. They stand the test of time and space and experience. There's another friend that sometimes some of us may have had. It is one I've said to my daughters, maybe, just maybe, we might share it sometime in the future. But I put it in a cross stitch that I did for my mother one Mother's Day. It was, as I was a child, you were my mother. But as I've grown to be an adult, we have become friends. My father died when I was 20. I was the last one out of the roost. I spent a lot of time checking in and spending time with my mother. And she was still my mother, make no mistake about it. But she was also a friend. Someone we could call and share a joy, share a sorrow, check in with one another, concerned about one another. I'm beginning to discover with my adult children that in fact, you know, it is possible to sometimes have a little bit of friendship with those who are our children. It's not something you can expect to have, but if it happens, you say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift. Thank you for the gift of friends. Thank you for the gift of love in Christ who considers us friends. Abide in this love as he abides in that love, that we all may be enriched. singing, I see. Expressions and glances going from one to another. And it was interesting during that last hymn, when we got to patience, I saw all kinds of people leaning towards each other. I'm assuming that means that you're saying to them with your eyes, I hope I can be more patient. But I'm guessing that part of it was, you're hoping that they're going to be more patient. You know, the family of faith is a wonderful thing. And it is something that God gives us as a gift. And I don't mean to cherish it as a gift, but it is. I know already in my life experience with being with you, I have seen some incredible friendships in the context of this congregation. Cherished friendships. I see that almost every place I am with more than two of you, seeing you connected in special ways. And I pray that God continues to bless you with those relationships. Sunday is a time in which we can join together in our concerns. And so in this pastoral prayer, I'll attempt to provide just a quiet space for you to petition to the Lord those things you want to in that given category. So let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your love for us in Christ. For Christ